Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you're giving us, and so that we can cooperate with you in the days ahead, and so that we won't be excited like the rest of the world when things happen that are just totally according to your will and according to your plan. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, okay, I think I'm going to continue with Delivered from Captivity, number 4. And I want to give you first a couple of updates from Delivered from Captivity 3. You remember in Delivered from Captivity 3 that Garrett Crawford on 7/1/20 said, for the past few months, I've been getting this reoccurring image in my mind of a dam breaking and a great flood ensuing. I often connected it to the water breaking in a woman before her child is born. I would find myself asking the Lord if we would see a physical sign of a dam breaking before the man-child is birthed. Well, I believe that this is probably true. The dam image came to mind again today while I was out riding my scooter, and I was thinking, hey, we really need to be watching for a great big dam to break. Maybe like the Three Gorges Dam, just remember that, in China. Or the Hoover Dam in the United States, something may possibly happen in the future. Yes, it could be. Well, as I got home, I thought about my dream concerning Kazakhstan. And that was where spiritually a young virgin girl was birthing the man-child. You'd have to go back and read the whole story to understand it. And the surrounding region. I wonder if a dam will break in that area, because this is a small parable, I believe, of the birthing of the man-child. He went on to say, maybe that is the area where a dam will break one day. So I looked it up, and to my amazement, a large dam just broke and flooded the entire area between Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan. On May the 5th, I thought it could very well be the sign the woman's water has broke. Okay, so then on, this is my thinking here, my note. Then on 7/6, we saw that Garrett's first premonition that the Three Gorges Dam could also be a great sign of the time of the water breaking for the birth of the man-child. The whole Far East is flooding. Japan, India, China. The dam itself is giving way. That is, the Three Gorges Dam is giving way. And the earth above it is likely to landslide down upon it. And, of course, below this dam are 400 million people living. And I'll give you a link here to look at it, but you can go all over the internet. It's up that the people are worried about this dam going, and for very good reason. If you look at satellite pictures, you can tell what the problem is. And then we got this too. This earthquake sparks fears of landslides above Three Gorges Dam. And that was from the Taiwan News, July the 6th. 2020. And Missy sent this in, so I'll include that article. This dam is on major fault lines, and the pressure of the water over and against it is causing earthquakes. One pretty good one. This largest dam used to be straight, and it's a very long dam, very big, very tall. But it's bending over its tremendous length, as it's seen by satellite pictures. They show a before and after shot of it when it was built nice and straight, perfectly straight, you know, and then afterwards you can see the bend in it. I don't really think that was good engineering. I mean, I know why they bend dams, naturally speaking, because they're stronger. A straight line dam is easier to break, easier to breach, etc. The curvature in a lot of dams is there for a purpose. It strengthens it. Going on, as it was in the building, Western experts were brought in to give their opinion of the design. And these people warned the Chinese that this was not going to work. And the Chinese dismissed them as racist. I don't know what it is with communists. It's just a really mean and stupid spirit. And it's trying to spread here, so pray against it. It's positioned on top of the bedrock, which is one of the complaints, on top of the bedrock foundation instead of embedded in the rock, which would make it secure. The concrete is inferior. One person's testimony, I think it was Tim, gave a testimony, read an article, how that they put great big rocks in the midst of their concrete and only put a little bit of concrete, which is extremely inferior. And the steel was proven to be inferior. Okay. And the Chinese seemed to agree as time went on, because they first said it would last 10,000 years. They were very proud of this thing, you know. And a year later, they changed this estimate to 1,000. Yeah. And shortly after their estimate, is now 100 years. Oh my gosh. You'd build a dam that big, the biggest in the world, and it's only going to last 100 years, and you got 400 million people down below it. Come on now. And it now appears that it may not last the month. That's just, you know, conjecture, but it's in the middle of a great flood. Lots of pressure against it, lots of pressure on the fault lines beneath it, earthquakes happening, bending as it goes. And this is very serious flooding. And, of course, they say it's safe because they don't want to move 400 million people, even to save their lives. That's what communism does. I mean, these are just cattle to them, you know. They're more interested in what the opinion of the world is about a situation like this than they are the people themselves. And they say it's safe, as they did COVID-19. And we've had dreams and seen texts in the Bible that clearly point to great earthquakes at the time of the coming of the man-child. So this birthing sign could very well be correct, and it could come with great earthquakes. We'll see. At least spiritual earthquakes. But the dreams we've had in the past seem to be speaking of great earthquakes. And we know that when the man-child was caught up to the throne, which is Jesus, at his resurrection, there was a what? Great earthquake. Yes. There was an earthquake when he died, but a great earthquake when he resurrected and was caught up to the throne. So, see, we're things coming together here, maybe, you know. And now we see that Garrett's first thoughts of this dam breaking could well be a sign of the water breaking to bring forth the man-child. The other sign seemed to be very clear, too. A smaller sign, more previous to this one, could be a warning of coming catastrophe, too. And as previous dreams on our site revealed, the head of the man-child will come out first. And later on, the body. And another dream reveals that this to be the tip of the spear that is coming. And that was in that dream, UBM was mentioned as the tip of the spear. So, I mean, we've been teaching on the man-child for a long, long time, so people would recognize it wasn't us, but God who kept giving us dreams and revelations about this to get it out to the public. And it's us, it's God giving dreams to us concerning those that oppose this man-child, just as they opposed the first man-child. Those dreams are not us. Those are dreams the Lord is sending us to get out to help people understand the sanctification of this man-child and bride body is in process now. Also, in part three, we saw the left is spreading COVID-19 in an attempt to destroy the world economy and bring President Trump to disrepute. And that was given to Sandy Shaw, 6:19 and 20. And that was, again, in part three. So an update is, so on the top of the left spreading COVID-19 through the world, again, we find that they have a new plague in the works that's more deadly and works faster. And this is in agreement with what we have been saying is coming, because the dreams from 3 years ago showed specific factious people dying of the plague who have not yet died. And I've said, you know, ever since then, I said, this isn't the fulfillment of that plague, but it is coming. Yeah. So on July the 6th, 2020, Bill Steenland had this dream. And in this dream, the Lord, he said, allowed me to follow the Satanists into a very rich, high-rise, private apartment condo in New York. I knew that they had infiltrated the CDC and the WHO, the World Health Organization. This is well known now that these are all part of the deep state, and were executing a plan for their satanic New World Order. The dream changed, and I was still in the same condo at a small medical facility where people were dropping like flies from some unknown pathogen or contagion. There were three women and two men who were so sick they were unable to function. I tried to grab the one woman closest to me while she was falling. And in the dream, I knew the elite were experimenting with the next plandemic. That's plandemic. And I said, ma'am, what's wrong? Get up. And again, but she was dead, already dead. Okay. And I went over to the nurse who was in a back room. I could tell she knew something and was divided about it. She was very sad and on her knees. Yes, from guilt, no doubt. I knew it was partially because she was totally helpless to assist or medicate the sick that were there. I picked her up off the ground and somewhat screamed at her, "What is happening to these people?" She told me, quote, "Don't ask me that question," unquote. And as she cried in fear and sadness, I yelled again for her to tell me everything you know. What's happening to these people? She again told me not to ask that question. She knew they were victims of a trial run for the next pandemic. In the dream, I just knew it. That's the info that kept coming to me in the dream. Next pandemic and trial run experiment. Okay. And then he sent an updated note about martial law coming. Whether it's totally connected to the pandemic could very well be, or other things like earthquakes and so on. All of these we know will bring martial law. He said, I had another short dream that I was talking to my father and someone else. I kept saying how President Trump would use a law put into place by Abraham Lincoln for martial law. The law is used to catch terrorists and suspend a speedy trial for the purpose of interrogation into the network of saboteurs. And he got his, has in parenthesis here, Democrats. Yes. But it goes farther back behind them, the elite, the deep state, and the Democrats. They're the ones that are fighting, and they're the ones that haven't been able to hide their trail. It's very obvious to anybody that has a brain, you know. I kept saying how he was going to enact this law. It was a very short and brief dream. Okay. We believe it. Military tribunals hold a significant place in American history, and they have always spawned public debate. During the American Civil War, Abraham Lincoln declared martial law and authorized such forums to try terrorists because military tribunals had the capacity to act quickly, to gather intelligence through interrogation, and to prevent confidential life-saving information from becoming public. Yes. Besides that, they could put the drip on their head, right? And as we have seen, this is my note again, the David Manchild body of reformers is coming to conquer the Jebusites, the old man of the land. Jebus then became Jerusalem, whom John in Revelation was told is the bride. So the Davids sanctify the bride as a first fruits of God's people. And David also being a member of this body, because he lived and ruled in Jerusalem, the city of David. And from here, he conquered the factious enemies, like the Edomites, and he put them in restraint. This dream below that I'm going to share with you points to this sanctification and destruction of the factious enemy that is attacking the bride. All right. God is sovereign, and he knows what he's doing, and everything he permits is for a good purpose. It's all designed by him. I have to go beyond the permit part, obviously. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Nobody restrains his hand or says to him, what are you doing? Yeah. So this is all about David's fruitful orchard pruned by God. And the faction have a part in this, although it's as vessels of dishonor. And this was given to Eve Brast on 7/6/20. She said, I dreamed that I believe as Eve, the bride of the last Adam, Jesus. She's being used as type because of her name, Eve. Eve was the bride of the first Adam, and Eve is the bride of the last Adam, Jesus. I dreamed that I was standing to David's right. I believe David here is a type of the man-child Davids, a body of reformers coming to do this work. And Michael, meaning who is like God, and he may be being used in this as a type of God. Okay. and Michael, who is like God, was behind us. We were, in other words, we are being backed up by the Lord, right? We were in a huge warehouse in which David had planted an orchard of fruit trees. The fruit trees, representing God's bride, were all as big and tall as oak trees. And they were currently bearing so much fruit all over the trees in different stages of development. The largest, most mature, and ripe fruits were the size of softballs. It wasn't any kind of fruit that I know of on earth, but the closest resemblance was to that of peaches. That's kind of interesting because I listened to a man's testimony of touring heaven, and one of the things he ate was the peaches there, which were large and very sweet. That was interesting. And she went on to say it was all the same fruit, not any other variety. Okay. And she has in parentheses here, all of the fruit looks like the Father and Jesus because it is unleavened, right? I mean, Jesus sowed the seed of the Word of God in the hearts of men and it brought forth His fruit. No other fruit, His fruit, right? It brought forth Him in His people, right? And she went on to say in this parenthesis, the ministry of UBM that Father gave to David is bearing much fruit despite all the enemy's attempts over the years to sabotage and stop it from going forth to the people. Well, you know, if you go study the life of David in the scriptures, this is, has to be fulfilled on the earth in these days. The things that have been are the things that shall be. And there were enemies, the Philistines and the Edomites and the on and on, Jebusites, on and on. These were trying to stop this. And these all represented factious people who were trying to stop this growth of the city of David and the bride and so on and so forth. The fruit represents the fruit of Christ that has been born in people through the ministry of UBM. Okay, but I also add, and UBM and David are types of the larger worldwide bodies. Okay. And she gave as a verse that was given to her, Ezekiel 34 and 27. And the tree of the field shall yield its fruit. And the earth shall yield its increase. And they shall be secure in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord. When I have broken the bars of their yoke and have delivered them out of the hand of those that made bondmen of them. You remember the story of Joseph, who came to be a clear type of the man-child, but first his own brethren sold him into captivity, you know, came against him, factioned against him, and sold him into captivity. His own brethren did that. And you know, it's happening today. Yeah. I was really impressed with the size and the amount of fruit on these trees. The branches were so loaded down that they were drooping towards the ground. And I said to David, "Wow, how did that happen? How did you get the trees to make such large fruit and to produce so much fruit?" Well, we have a great helper, don't we? God Almighty, right? He was so happy as he explained that it had not always been that way. He said, quote, There used to be a lot of diseased limbs on the trees that were stripped bare and had no green leaves or fruit on them at all. Yep, everybody starts out that way, but the closer you get to being the bride, the more and more these are going to become the first fruits. Now, we know the man-child is the first fruits, and the bride is actually the fruit of the man-child. But remember, David abides in Jerusalem, and so these all together are also the first fruits, right? He said, Michael and I have prayed to the Lord to show us all of the diseased limbs in the trees. And then God's finger would come down out of heaven and point out the diseased limbs to us so that Michael, as a type of God here, could cut them off with his chainsaw. Well, this has really, really been happening, very much so. And God is pruning his people. And he has been putting his finger on their problems by dreams, visions, revelations from the Word, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. He has been doing this. It's been his finger that's been doing this. And, of course, we're not belligerent here or judgmental here at all. Never have been. But once you finger a person that God has rejected, you point out, no, you can't seduce another man's wife, and he blows up on you, explodes, because he wants to have his own way, and he's had this history anyway. So, you see, God puts his finger on that. We had dreams and visions pointing this out, and many others, you know, pointing this out. And God put his finger on it. Well, praise be to God. He's been doing that. He wants a sanctified body. And he's going to have one. So, and this has been happening as some humbly repented and took correction for their own sin, recognizing that this is part of sanctification and a need in the body, and they can't hold on to their sins. And others instantly rejected any correction for their sins, and God turned them over to faction demons from the enemy. And they were gathered with the tares in bundles to burn them, as Jesus said would happen at the harvest. Okay. We've watched. God has given us words all along the way revealing how this is dead on in Scripture. This is what was supposed to happen at this time, on and on. So, and others, the finger of God would help us by touching them, and they would just fall off by themselves. Well, this too has been happening because the faction spirits separate them from anything holy or any truth in the Word. They're actually offended if you think you're going to hold to the Word, and they run off. It's all by themselves. The word that was given to her was Luke 8:11-15. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are they that have heard, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word from their heart. This happens every time. I've actually had them tell me, David, everything you've taught us is gone. It's gone out of my heart, you know. I've actually had them tell me that. And others, when they talk, you know that they've lost it all. That's right. Supernatural. Amazing. That they may not believe and be saved, it goes on to say in the text. And those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who for a while believe and in a time of temptation fall away. Yep. This is true. This has happened. We have watched it. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And I think this is where the theft comes in, which is so common among them, and bring no fruit to perfection. And that in the good ground, these are such as in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bring forth fruit with patience. Yes, some are diligent. This is the whole test, the whole trial, is when you get in a tight spot, do you hold to the word or do you seek to save your old life and fall away? Yeah. I saw an open vision of this happening while David was explaining it to me. I asked David, what caused the limbs to die? And he began to tell me about another orchard that belonged to our enemy. Yes, this was the slanderous faction and witchcraft infected people. And then another vision opened up to me, to our left and behind us, of the enemy's orchard. It too had tall trees, but they were skinny and had no greenery on them. And this has a meaning. You know what photosynthesis is all about, right? This is what gives life to the tree, the sun, you know, through the leaves. So it had no greenery, so they can no longer take in the sun, S-U-N/S-O-N, in photosynthesis. Their branches were full of the same poisonous seed pods that I had seen on the tops of the vines in a previous dream. And in that dream, the vines, who were the factious, blocked out the sun, S-U-N/S-O-N, from the trees of God's people and had to be cut down. Amen. And they killed some, and the tree itself had to be cut down. So, and that's what they consider to be their job. There's no evangelism as far as bringing Jesus Christ or the revelation of Jesus Christ. They have none of that. None of that. Their whole job is to try to kill David and UBM. And in that dream, David had told me to go and feed the poison seed pods to the two proud peacocks. In other words, the faction would reap what they sowed in being factioned from one another, just as Sennacherib, who attacked Jerusalem, the bride, and was killed by his own sons, and the three armies that came against Jehoshaphat's Jerusalem, all of these are against Jerusalem, killed each other off, and Abimelech and the men of Shechem, who attacked Gideon's sons, killed each other off too. So you see, it's a common thing among the faction that they reap what they sow and they kill each other off. But in this dream, the seed pods were black and covered with a clear slime, and on the inside I could see that there were large black cicada locusts cocooned in each one. Locusts, of course, were a type of this factious enemy when they attacked the bride at Jerusalem in Joel chapter 2, and God struck them down. And I believe that was the Sennacherib scenario there in Joel chapter 2. They were also all in different stages of development, and many had hatched out and were waiting to be sent out. That is, these locusts. To, of course, to attack the bride and those desiring to be in the bride. Anybody that came looking for the bride, they would try to catch them first and bring them into their little secret chamber, which they have a couple on the internet, there poison them. So we know what goes on there because the Lord showed us. They all made a really weird and foreign noise, kind of like locusts do, you know. And she got Matthew 13, 24 through 30. Another parable set he before them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. I would say that's kind of like back at the beginning when Jesus, sent out the disciples with the full truth and the power of God and so on. Now look at it, right? And 25 goes on to say, but while men slept, this enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat and went away. Yes, this is true. How do you find them? How do you rout them out? Well, that's what faction does. But when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Mm-hmm. So at a time when the fruit is being born by the real people of God, then appear the tares. And because they can't stand Jesus, obviously, you just have to understand that the reason they hate the people who have the fruit of Jesus is because they hate Jesus. And the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants say unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he saith, Nay, lest haply while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until, what? The harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather up first the tares. That's what he's doing now. And bind them in bundles to burn them. But then you gather the wheat into my barn. Amen. She went on to say, David said that some of these locusts had come and attacked his orchard, and they had killed many of the tree branches. And she has a note here, the fruit of their lips is demon-infested slander, and brings death to those that listen to them contrary to the commands of Jesus. Yes, that's what happened to Jesus. They slandered Jesus, and then they killed him. Then they slandered his disciples, killed them. And then the vision ended, and David looked happy that it was all over and that his fruit trees were all healthy now. He said, God helped us get rid of them all, and now look at our fruit. Well, I've been saying this exact thing. You know, I'm looking at the fruit now, you know. Contrary to the wishes of Satan, the faction has sanctified the body of the bride in removing those who would not repent of their sins. You know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Well, then the leaven has to be removed, and that's what the Lord taught. So, I'll now share another revelation given to Garrett Crawford on 7:3-20, and we called it Wilderness House Provided the Sanctified. Yeah. Garrett said, I own a restoration company. I complete mold and water damage jobs. Well, my thinking is that mold represents sin, which destroys houses and the people as it spreads. He said, in this dream, I had to complete many jobs. And I believe this is representing sanctification because he's getting rid of the sin, right? Before the day was over, there was a deadline, and all the jobs had to be finished. Yes, we know what the deadline is. I believe it's the man, Charles, catching up to the throne and the choosing of the bride. Yes, and we're very close to this catching up to the throne. Now, all the jobs have to be finished. Otherwise, anybody who hasn't born fruit is not going to be chosen. It's that simple, either for the man-child or the bride. Me and my crew agreed to press hard and to work until the wee hours in the morning to get all these jobs done. Amen. It is important now. We drove all over the city to complete one job and then went on to the next. There was a great sense of urgency. After we finished one job, I found myself on a great highway going to the next job. Well, as we know when we read the rest of the story, this was on the way to the Wilderness Zion house. Yes. At this time, I looked up into the sky and I could see a massive space shuttle, one that was like a city unto itself. Well, of course, that's not the natural space shuttle, you can tell. But it has that connotation of reaching towards the heaven, kind of like Babylon, right? Yeah. Shortly after takeoff, and while it was still in the Earth's atmosphere, the massive space shuttle exploded, just like the regular space shuttle did. The explosion was frightening, and I could see a large amount of blood mingled with the smoke and debris. So, just like the first space shuttle that blew up, this one, too, is going to be costly in lives. And it is, I believe, the bringing down of the deep state. There was a large loss of life. And then he has a note, God through the right wing new order brings destruction, ending the old world order. This is true. The left are, my thoughts, the left are spreading COVID-19 now before the hot weather destroys it. This will include a collapse of the old economy and riots as the new order are trying to bring the new economy up, and the anarchists for the factious left try to stop it. Yes, the anarchist is one of the natures that fits the faction better than anything I know. They're against all law, the law of God, the law of man. They disobey all of it. They're anarchists. After this shocking sight, I looked beyond the horizon and I could notice a shuttle launch platform, and the government was building a second space shuttle just like the first. Okay, to build something to heaven, right? My thought was the right wing world order has already been built and is waiting as the old world order dies. True. And this was like a Cape Canaveral, only 10 times bigger. It stretched into the sky. And I thought, why would they build another shuttle after such a failure of the first? Yeah, you notice, now I know that we are not patriots in that sense of the word. We definitely want America to be a better place. We're the salt of the earth, so we desire an atmosphere where the gospel can go forth. And, of course, it's very hard for it to go forth under a bunch of communists. They tried to do everything they can to throttle Christianity. Communists consider Christianity one of their greatest enemies, if not their greatest enemy. And they've destroyed it in their countries in every way that they could. So we know this is their enemy. And so it's not surprising what they're doing, and they're not voicing it as much as they could if they wanted to come against Christianity, but they're against Christianity and they are burning churches, just as I told the president 3 years ago. And why so soon are they building this? And it was his question, without even troubleshooting or investigating why the first one failed. Listen, the second one's going to fail too, ultimately. It's just going to give us a little bit of time to get the gospel out. And Cyrus is going to provide the funds to get the gospel out all over the world. But it's going to fail too, because most of the people that are building it are conservatives. And of course, they're more in tune with Christianity and so on. But they're still just conservatives and lost people. Okay. But he goes on to talk about this new shuttle being built that they too were in a rush to complete something, it seems. You remember when the real space shuttle exploded, it was because of they were in a hurry to do something that they hadn't made right. Seems like an O-ring or something like that. And it kaboomed on them. So, again, I believe that Cyrus is going to conquer Babylon. It is going down. It is going to be destroyed, just as the Bible says. But I also believe that this world order is only going to last a short time before the next world order of the elite through their communist comrades takes over the earth again in the middle of the tribulation. So anyway, he says the destruction of the old order was planned and Satan eagerly awaits the new. Yet America is still at the head of the beast kingdom as the American government built both space shuttles. This is true. Okay. The Satanist elite left are seeing their plans crumble as the right will have dominion for a while until the mid-trib, when their new world order finally comes and a communist overthrow. Yes, I believe communists are going to be killing Christians all over the world, promoting them into their new kingdom. Amen. Jesus said you have to lose your life to gain your life. And either, I've taught this before, either you lose your life of self or you will lose your life. But either way, you can not enter into heavenly places without losing your life. And after we finished all the jobs, it was very late. And my neighbor gave us his cabin in the woods to rest at. Okay, that's the cabin in the wilderness to enter the rest, right? My neighbor in real life is wealthy and lives on a mountain overlooking my house, which I believe is a type of Mount Zion. The Lord will give a new house in Zion, the bride, to those who sanctify the body, which is what Garrett was doing, right? He allowed us to stay at his cabin because his wife had, get this, had just been taken to the hospital to deliver their new baby. So you know who the king on Mount Zion is, and you know who the baby is, the man-child, right? The birth of the man-child. And I put a note here that I've been seeing 144 several times a day in different forms. And I saw 111 for the last couple of days, which is the birth of the man-child in gematria. If you'll look that up, you'll be amazed. Everywhere it talks about the birth of Jesus, the birthing of Jesus, the gematria is there of 111. Amazing. He was very generous, Garrett said, and I was amazed by the large cabin we were given. Cabin, of course, is like a wilderness house, you know, but it was large, spacious. He said, in real life, his wife is past the age to give birth. And, of course, the church is very old, but still able to birth a man-child body. very mature, and the bride even more so. And if you don't believe that the bride can bring forth the man-child body, David came out of the bride, right? Yes, he did. He came out of the bride. Okay, Garrett went on to say, also during last night, I had the same recurring dream over and over again. I must have had it 3 or 4 times. I have never had this happen before. The dream was this, that Joseph was leading his people out of Egypt. And by the way, that would be into the wilderness, right? Like Moses. Yet physically, the land was my dad's rental property in Bethel. Bethel was the first house of God. That's what Bethel means, house of God. That fell away, you know, where I used to live before I brought my own house in Batavia. The new house in the wilderness coming, I believe that's what this speaks about. I saw this scene many times, and when I woke up, I did not understand why everything about this man represented what Moses had done, yet clearly Joseph was leading the people. Well, both of these are man-child types who bring those of the house of God into the wilderness to their new house, a place of rest in God, right? Both of them. So, this is why it's very important. Jesus as the man-child started the revival in his day and delivered the people out of apostate denominations of Judaism. Amen. And the things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. Amen. Well, okay, I hope you've enjoyed this. I have. I like it. I like the... I've been, for many, many years, almost 50 years, been watching for the man-child. And I see the time is very close. And it's going to be good. It's going to be good, but it's going to be bad on the flesh, right? All right. God bless you, saints, and thank you for coming and studying with us today. And open the eyes of the blind and see to walk in the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Good night.